right, thank you everybody for tuning in to this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry, only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We've got a couple special guests on the show this weekend, but before I get to that, I got a nasty gram, Dave, after our last episode.
Wait, that was such a good episode.
Yeah, I had some strong language for the Bear League.
Go figure.
I'll use air quotes for people that can't see, the journalist that wrote the article. So, look, I'll use 99.1 as an example. The Fox News update is not an editorial take on the news. It's just reporting the news. What you and I do is an opinion show.
Correct.
That's what it is.
Yes.
So the article that we were referencing and the quote unquote journalist that I had some strong language for on the last show, that was pitched as a news story, not as an op-ed, not an opinion piece. That's why I said what I said about editorializing the news. Someone pointed out the perceived hypocrisy of me calling someone out for that, and then all you and I do is editorialize. Different format, different style of show.
Completely.
So that's what I'll say on that. And then thank you to Shooting Performance Institute for sponsoring the show. I say it all the time. Make sure you log on to the website. Check out the course dates coming up. Sign up for one of them. Especially this summer, it's going to be nice. As I say that, we just had a nice big storm. It will be nice this summer. Get out. Go shoot with Jim. Get dialed before you find yourself 580 yards from the bull of a lifetime in the field. Drum roll, please. We have got Jamie Martinez and Kyle Thistle on the show today. Jamie and Kyle are involved with an organization, Northern Nevada Outfitters. It's a nonprofit, and I will read the mission statement real quick. Dedicated to providing free, unforgettable outdoor experiences for youth, U.S. military veterans, and individuals impacted by cancer through guided outings, we aim to honor, empower, and inspire hope by fostering life skills and meaningful connections with nature. And we're going to do a deep dive on Northern Nevada Outfitters in just a moment. But I wanted to start the show with thanking you both for coming on today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, man. We appreciate it a bunch.
It was our honor to do it. Let's start with Jamie. I was under the impression you were an accomplished outdoors woman.
Okay.
What's your 9-to-5 here in Reno?
So I am a full-time attorney here. I'm a partner with my law firm. It's called Scrow and Roger.
Okay, if I've said negative things about attorneys on the show, I apologize.
Yeah, we're those people that you don't like until you need us, so I'm okay with that.
What's your specialty?
So I do everything. I'm a trial attorney, so there's only a couple areas of law that I don't do. I would say that criminal defense and civil litigation are my main, my bread is buttered on those two lanes.
Natural crossover to hunting. Yeah. Okay.
Well, somebody has a gun in their hand in most of my cases, so I guess so.
All right. Where'd you grow up? Are you from Reno?
So I grew up in the Bay Area, and then when I was a kid, my parents were divorced, so I went back and forth from Lake Tahoe to the Bay Area, which is how I fell in love with this area. I moved to Las Vegas in 2001, and I lived there up until 2 years ago when I came up here.
What drew you to hunting?
Well, I think it's kind of a weird path. So I have a 13-year-old daughter. I actually have three daughters, and my 13-year-old is, in middle school, and it's kind of a weird place to find yourself. So I had, done a lot of things to kind of bring her out of her shell. And, she's not a typical middle school girl and what I would say is typical. She doesn't wear makeup or, revealing clothing. She's not kind of like, she wouldn't consider herself in the in crowd. She loves art. She's an introvert. So there was a lot of things. I, on the other hand, am completely opposite. I don't even know how to raise an introvert, really. So I tried a lot of different things to kind of get her out of her shell, make her feel confident about herself. Jiu-jitsu, boxing, all dance, gymnastics, everything. So there was just nothing that ever cracked the code. By chance, I was able to put a bow in her hand. Once that happened, I saw a kid bloom into somebody I'd never seen before. So that's kind of how we started down the road of kind of exploring, how do you use this? What do you do with it? You can do archery and you can hunt with it. And so simultaneously, and we can get into that also, but, I had met Kyle through other business dealings and, he has his background, which we'll get into. So it was just a very serendipitous crossover and a creation of a relationship that, as a mom, I was so lucky to have found something that really hit the mark for me and what I wanted to do for her. And then meeting Kyle, who was kind of like our guide to help us do that. Because as a female and as a city girl, I feel so out of my wheelhouse and so nervous, where in other areas of my life, I can just jump in and fly and not have any trepidation whatsoever.
Is it just the one daughter, or do all three participate?
Not yet. So it is just my one daughter now, but we're going to push the other two. My other two are still very much city girls and city oriented. So it's my plan to not rest until they both, you know, get a bow and a rifle in their hand and at least go one time. So I'm okay. A pretty persistent person.
Man, you're batting 1,000. This is Nevada backcountry. You've labeled yourself a city girl.
Yes.
You're an attorney and you're from the Bay Area. This is good.
And I still haven't gotten kicked out yet. Thank you.
Now, Kyle, were you involved in getting Jamie's daughter into archery at all? Were you along for that ride?
No, I got to step in on. I mean, I was there for it, but it wasn't everything that I had to do with. You know, I just encouraged that it was a great opportunity, you know, to get a kid into something else that they've never had an opportunity at doing, you know. And usually, like, I have two young daughters myself, and the one that's the same age as Jamie's, you know, loves archery as well. So
I did consult with him about things, and he showed me like what his daughters had, and, you know, I would send him pictures and he's like, nope. I mean, because I'm out there shopping, like, whatever. Oh, this one's cute. Like, oh, this one's purple. What about this one? And he's like, no. So yes, he was involved in that sense too, of just like, okay, here's how you do it.
You yourself, though, you're throwing yourself into hunting, right?
Yes.
Or trying?
Yes.
We just did a show, what was it, Dave? A month ago, on women getting into hunting?
Yeah, a couple episodes ago, we were discussing women in hunting and how it is actually the number one group right now in relation to growth.
As we should be.
Fly fishing. I don't know if you guys have dabbled in that. Just in fishing, you know, they've taken that market over.
Yeah, hunting tags, I think, what was it?
33%.
Yeah, 33%.
33% of all new hunters are female.
Are female, yep.
Watch out, guys. Better keep your numbers up.
What hurdles so far? We talked about some, and I think I made a comment on the show about the irony of two dudes sitting around talking about, oh yeah, I could see this being a hurdle. But from a woman's perspective, what hurdles have you faced?
So, I mean, I think I have the benefit of having Kyle, which is why I kind of, you know, when we connected, it was like, okay, we got to do something about this. But I can see one of the biggest hurdles being just starting from scratch and not having anybody to ask questions to, or, you know, figure anything out. And I remember one time he tried to explain to me like how to calculate, like dialing in your scope, and all this math started flowing. And I was like, okay, hold on, never mind, just do this for me. So there's a lot of hurdles, but one of the things that I think that is important is having somebody right next to you who you can ask all the questions in the world, whether you think they're stupid questions or bad questions, or, you know, and with him, he's like, no question is a bad question. So the hurdle is having somebody there who can hold your hand and take you, not understanding the process. One thing I love about this is there's not this like air of superiority of people who have been in it for years. You know, it's more of like, oh, you like it? Well, come find out. Come with us. Come see what it's like. And it's a very welcoming and inviting group of people. So I would say a hurdle would be just the fear of asking questions.
Gotcha. I used the phrase earlier. Kyle is acting essentially like a mentor, or there's a mentorship going on, which I think is crucial to sustaining new hunter numbers. And I love that more and more women are getting involved. My wife has made the point before to me that if a mom is involved in a hobby, the whole family is going to do the hobby, versus if it's just the dad, then it's like, well, dad goes to do the hobby. I think it's awesome. I think you guys are going to, you know, sustainably grow the sport of hunting. What about the woodsmanship stuff or the outdoors side of it? That's something I probably incorrectly perceive as being a hurdle, but you've called yourself a city girl.
Yeah.
So the bugs, the snakes, the on and on and on and on. Was any of that a challenge?
I'm going to go ahead and be honest here, and I will tell you that it took me a long time to pee outside for the first time.
I knew it. I said going to the bathroom outdoors.
Okay, yeah, that's so true. Idiot. Yeah. So
that was your hurdle for sure.
And I don't know why. And, you know, as much as I'd love to admit, I probably peed once outside before when I was in high school and at a keg party in the forest. So that might have happened.
Perfect.
But it was just like, being outside as being a kid in Tahoe. So I was outside a lot. I hiked, I, you know, went to the beach, swimming, all kinds of stuff, rode my bike around. And I remember as a kid, like riding down trails and seeing bears and, you know, like in the forest. And I was like, oh, there's a bear. I should probably go this way. You know, it was like not a big thing. But in terms of that stuff, I will tell you, peeing outside was huge.
Okay.
And my friend Caitlin, who took me on my first kind of hunting trip with her family, she bought me a sticker and I stuck it on my water bottle like an award. Like, I love peeing outside. Yeah, I did it. It was like my, you know, my gold star for finally doing it. So
even on the same topic as this, you know, I think that, and I'm not taking anything away from the women, you know, but look at when you guys were kids, you know, maybe out with your dads like me on like the back of a four-wheeler, you know, you're freezing to death, like, you tough through it because dad was there, you know. But now even Jamie driving a Toyota Tundra, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's awesome.
The way that the world is caught up, you know, everybody's got Toyota Tacomas and 4Runners. You know, it's a lot more adaptable for everybody to enjoy the sport now, you know. It's not like you have to go and suffer and hike behind dad and freeze to death. You know, you can go sit in a heated truck and go down the road and, you know, glass.
On that note, we got to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Northern Nevada Outfitters, Jamie Martinez and Kyle Thistle. Welcome back to Nevada Backcountry, only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Thanks for hanging in there over the break. We're chatting with Northern Nevada Outfitters, Jamie Martinez and Kyle Thistle. Kyle, let's switch gears, and I want to pick your brain on how you got involved in hunting. You shared a story about freezing your tail off on the back of a four-wheeler with your dad. I'm assuming you just grew up doing it?
Yeah, I very much, just like any other probably middle-aged male, you know, it was your first Red Ryder you got when you were 5 years old, changed your life, you know?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That type of story.
Where'd you grow up?
I'm from Central Oregon. We grew up on a ranch there just outside of Sun River, Oregon.
What do you do for a 9-to-5?
Get to live the dream now. My 9-to-5 is running this nonprofit business, you know, so very fortunate that I get to wake up every day and live the dream.
I'm assuming you're busier during season. What's the off season look like for you as far as running the nonprofit?
You know, we'll go out and we'll sanction trips to go and do a bunch of cleanings. We got a shed hunt coming up here pretty soon, you know, get the youth out, go take a bunch of kids out and go look for some elk horns. And then we start scheduling. Like right now, I'm pretty busy on the phone just getting everybody through the applications and what hunts that I think are the most successful are going to produce the best quality animals this year.
How do you set up those hunts? Are these lottery typical Nevada hunts, or do you guys get landowner tags?
Right now, we don't get any landowners tags. That's definitely in the works for next year, though. We've been making a lot of noise, so now we have quite a few different people interested in it. But it's just a normal Nevada draw system for people that we're going to take out.
Do you kind of screen people that apply, like, hey, this is feasible, this is not feasible? How do you go about it as far as pointing them in the right direction and accepting applicants?
So the first groundwork, you know, we go to a lot of the hunt expos. We've been to a couple of them this year, the Reno Sheep Show and then the Reno Hunt Expo. And so we met a lot of people, and we'll take down their information if they qualify on our three qualifications to, you know, to come and be a part of what we're doing. And then right now we're just reaching back out to those guys that tags are available to apply for and just going through and saying, hey, you know, this is going to be the best case scenario in this unit or worst case scenario, or, you know, are you just looking for a hunt? You know, like kids, I want to get the kids the best opportunities they can, and I could work with any unit from that, you know, so.
Yeah, it's important to get those kids out there. Once you get that fire kind of lit, it kind of stokes itself if they have the opportunity.
Well, yeah, the average hunt age right now, I believe, across the U.S. is at 47 years old.
Yeah.
So we're going to try our hardest to get as many kids as we can booked out in front of everybody else. You know, kids, nobody's more important than anybody else, but I would love to see the youth get out of maybe a problem they're doing or having a problem and introduce a a whole new problem, I guess, as we would call it in the hunting world, you know?
Yeah.
An addiction. Yeah.
Are you strictly just doing these hunts in Nevada?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm only licensed in Nevada right now. So maybe we'll talk to my dad on the ranch and see if I could get licensed in Oregon so we can get a bunch of depredation cow hunts. So maybe we could that could be a thing in the future, you know what I mean? Just to have a, hey, we're going to pick 20 kids. And you're going to come stay on the ranch and, you know, we're going to go shoot a cow.
Okay. How did you meet Jamie, get involved with that?
Scrolling Roger. I needed her. I needed her brain.
Okay.
She pulled through tenfold and we just became very close, inseparable, I would say, after that point. And then both families got involved and, you know, just went from there.
What did you do before this?
I mined. I was an underground miner for 15 years for small mine development. I was a boss for them and down chasing the gold underground.
You met up with Jamie and what, you guys just started brainstorming? What was the leap between, hey, I'm an underground miner, I met this person, I'm mentoring her in hunting, and now we're going to start a nonprofit? What took place there?
Well, it just every day, you know, we talked so much and spent time, and the one who convinced me to actually take this shot and do what I'm doing now. So this would never be a thing if it wasn't for her, because she convinced me that, dude, you need to stop doing what you're doing. You're miserable. You hate your life. You know, and I got diagnosed with cancer, and I was, you know, it's having a hell of a time, and I couldn't do it anymore, and she's seen me breaking. So then it just got to the point of every day she would tell me, enough's enough. You need to, you know, because I was a sub guide for 15 years as well.
Okay.
There was a running joke between us. Like, we would text in the morning, like, hey, how are you? And I would say, hey, guess what? And he would say, what? And I would say, quit your job. And then at nighttime, if we didn't talk in the morning, I'd be like, oh my God, you know what? What? Quit your job.
Yeah.
So how long ago was that that you decided, hey, I'm not going
to
do this
to quit your job?
Yeah, to quit your job.
This was a year ago.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Almost, well, I guess not quite. It was in, what, November, Jamie?
Yeah, November.
I walked away officially.
November. I finally got my way.
Who were you working for as a sub guide?
I've worked for all sorts of different outfitters. I kind of floated around. I've done all the governor tag hunts. I've been fortunate enough to be on quite a few of the governor tag hunts. I was the guide that found them all. I got to take part in those ones.
What's your species of choice?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to say mountain lion, buddy.
Oh, okay. That's a new one, Dave.
That is definitely a new one.
Usually we can separate guys into mule deer or elk.
Hound dogs on your show, so.
Yeah. Sean Shea said, well, because Sean Shea, that's all. He loves his mountain lions, but he said mountain lion.
Oh, I thought he was a mule deer guy.
Did he say mule deer?
I think so.
You ask that question so often. I think all those animals.
I got to ask everybody.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. It's a good question.
Okay, so you got 14 hounds and mountain lion is your choice. You're up in Spring Creek, right?
Yes, sir.
Good lion country up there.
Oh, yeah.
Archery, rifle, or do you care as long as it's a mountain lion?
I don't. I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum here. I'd like to tree them and watch them live. I'll be your first person who'll tell you that one, I bet. So.
No, actually, that's another, yeah.
Yeah.
Sean Shea is the same way. I got a buddy, John Lesperance.
Yeah, they.
I know he does the same thing.
Yeah, they run their dogs, and they just like to tree the cat,
well,
see
the
cat. And then,
is to watch the animals, you know. And don't get me wrong. I have a mountain lion that I killed that's 9'8" and 189 pounds. So, you know, I have my one once-in-a-lifetime Tom, and now it's just I'd rather watch my young pups turn into hound dogs than watch that fire start, you know, just like in the same concept of what we're doing with the kids. You know, I want to see that fire get lit, and I want to see what, you know, they're going to kind of run with it and what they're going to do. And, you know, that's my goal, is to see that part of it.
Well, that's cool. That's
your take on the mountain lion population up in your neck of the woods?
I don't know if you guys have seen that there's some stuff going on where all the outfitters are kind of throwing some plans together to make some changes officially, legally. I'm all for it. I think they need to put quotas on because it's getting out of hand. Everybody's going out and just booking 20 hunts, smashing females, killing adolescents. You know, there's a few great guys that I can vouch for that I know, like Team CCH, you know, those guys killed trophy toms only, you know, and like they won't let anybody just go out and kill a female, but there's so many other outfitters and people with dogs that don't have that same concept, to where I think that it's time to put regulations on it, because there's not that many cats left.
Okay, so you'd say it's on the decline from your point of view.
Oh, absolutely. It's been on the decline the last 5 years, going out running the same roads we're running now. You're finding 10 times less tracks, 20 times more dog boxes, you know, and if it climbs, it dies. So
I'll give you that one. That's the first time I've heard that from someone on the show.
Yeah.
Do you mostly run lions up there, Elko County, or do you spread out a little bit?
No, I've had to branch out so far. I'm coming down to sheep country and setting up camps to... I'm hunting off sheep guzzlers right now. That's where I just came back from. So,
okay.
I was down in Dixie Valley set up on a 4-day hunt, you know, just out there trying to help out with the sheep population.
When we come back on Nevada Backcountry, we'll get a little bit more into Northern Nevada Outfitters, where people can go to donate, some things you're involved with. And I want to ask Kyle about the three qualifications you mentioned during this segment. And thank you to Truck Envy for sponsoring the show. Go see Andy and the crew on South Virginia here in Reno. Do not touch that dial. We will be right back. Just joining us, the show is Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. If you miss a segment of the show, you can always go to 991fmtalk.com, click on the podcast tab. All the past episodes are there. And I started working on getting us on Spotify this morning. I have not completed it yet, but if you are an Apple user, we are available on Apple Podcasts. Just search for Nevada Backcountry. Thank you to Battleborn Tree Service for Hunters by Hunters for sponsoring the show. Over the break there, we were talking about it. I had a whoopsie. I was supposed to mention the Walker River Rendezvous. That's the 12th and 13th. So that shoot is coming up. Let's jump back into the conversation with Northern Nevada Outfitters. Kyle Thistle, Jamie Martinez are joining us in studio today. Who wants to go first, you guys, and talk a little bit about the nonprofit?
Let
Jamie handle this one.
Okay.
Sure. I kind of want to give a little background about how we got there. And that is, you know, you heard about me pressuring Kyle about quitting his job and staying healthy. So we originally started looking at buying a for-profit outfitting business together, and it was a way to generate money and he wouldn't have to go back down in the hole again. So, you know, we went down a couple avenues and we were close and we were getting numbers from one. And then he just said to me, you know what, Jamie, I don't want to do this for money. I would much rather do it for kids and to help people. When Kyle was sick, he spent time outside and it was kind of like one of the most healing processes for him and something that helped him get through something very serious. I went through my own health issue as well. It was not cancer, but it was something, you know, that put me on the verge of death. So part of being outside was, you know, that was part of getting better was being outside. So I had a nonprofit before in Las Vegas. It was a boxing gym. And being an attorney, I knew what it took to put the paperwork together and do all that stuff. So we started talking about it. And, you know, within a month, we had our designation from the IRS. We had our state designation. We talked about, you know, who we wanted to serve. And, you know, Kyle, obviously, with Kyle being sick, cancer was the natural choice. With us both having kids, especially daughters, that was also a natural choice. And then both of us just, you know, obviously loving our country and being here. And, you know, we see a lot of the veterans organizations are for veterans who have been shot or who are sick or, you know, and we just said, well, let's just, you know, how about offering the service to everybody who has served in the military, because it's such a healing avenue for veterans to get, you know, someplace to access mental health and a way to join and feel involved in something. And, you know, we have veterans who volunteer not just as hunters, but come and are a part of camp or helping other people and helping mentor our kids. So, you know, it's a way for everybody to get in, build hope, get healthy, be involved in something that's really amazing and a life skill.
I was going to ask about the three qualifications that Kyle brought up last segment, but I think that's your youth, a veteran, or a cancer survivor?
Yes, sir.
Those are your three qualifications.
Yes.
Say you are somebody, you fall into one of these categories. how do you go about getting in touch with you guys?
Sure. So we have a website. It's northernnevadaoutfitters.org. And you can go on the website, and we're actually relaunching because we grew so fast. I built the first one on, you know, GoDaddy by myself, and I had never built one before. So it's kind of out there hanging out, but we have somebody working on ours, and I'm actually finalizing it on Monday. Through that, you can go online. There's applications online. If you are a kid, you have an application that involves, you know, your parents signing off. And if you're a veteran, you know, we get proof of service and discharge and all that kind of stuff. If you are a cancer survivor, you got to get a doctor to sign off and tell us you're healthy enough to go out, you know. So we have the applications. You submit an application to us. We keep it. You put in for your own tag. You get your own license. And if you draw, then you come back to us and you say, hey, I got one. Where's my application? And then we will take that. And, you know, our business model right now is, you know, $100 in, $100 out, $1,000 in, $1,000 out. So the amount of people we will serve in a season is directly contingent upon how much money we raise. So, you know, right now we have zero paid employees. If we ever get to a paid employee, it's going to be Kyle first as our master guide. And, you know, the rest of the people involved right now, we're just doing it for the love of the game.
Do you tell them what units to apply for, or is it just kind of like, yeah, apply for whatever? You guys are not unit specific?
Not so much. We have quite a few different guys right now that are going to be running underneath me, but we're trying to keep everything family oriented. So we're not going to stretch out to 20 different camps across the state. So that's why it's easier if people get a hold of me and I can say, hey, you know, let's do a general unit. So I can set up a camp for a month and a half and stay there every day for a month and a half and just run as many people as we can get through there, you know, in a roundabout area, you know, you have all our Toyotas and access stuff to get out. So, and some of these units have been, you know, holding some trophy animals or, you know, like giant management bucks, you know what I mean? Because we're here with Endow as well, you know, and the whole state of Nevada just, you know, trying to be, you know, conservative and actually help out with the herd populations that I'm sure everybody on here knows are declining. And if anybody's going to judge and think we're going to go out and just start hammering down on young animals, you know, that's not what we're about. It's conservative. We're going to go and clean up areas. You know, if there's 200 3x4s that are going to stay that way, you know, and I could get 20 kids in there to harvest a nice mature mule deer that's, you know, they're going to be a problem buck or never going to genetically turn into something that's going to help that unit. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the direction we're going with it.
I'll put both of you guys on the spot real quick, and you can each answer independently. To my untrained eye, it seems like there is a plethora of nonprofits involved in the hunting space, I'll call it. What led you guys to say, okay, we are going to start our own thing versus getting involved with one of the standing organizations?
The only reason I really wanted to is because there's so many people that are being left out. It is only for kids who are dying. It is only for veterans who have already lost arms, legs. It is for, you know, and there's nothing for really cancer, and I hate to say that, but it's veterans or mentally challenged, you know, stuff like that. And it leaves out so much of the realm to give back a thank you to somebody who had more courage than I did, because I never served. So I wouldn't know what it takes to go sign that piece of paper. Whether you took a bullet or not, they still signed something saying, I'm going to go protect my country. Now, if they didn't get called, oh, well, they still did something that I never did. You know, and I mean, I survived cancer, and that's why we included that. But the kids, I think every kid really deserves a chance to maybe they want to hunt, but they just, their family never did. Or maybe there's a lot of single mothers out there, you know what I mean? That the kid doesn't have an opportunity, you know? So that's why we're here, is to change a path. If there's something that we can do to give out to the community to change, if we change one person's life as we do this, that's all that really matters, you know, is one thing at a time, one step at a time.
That's going to be tough to follow up, Jamie. But
typically what he is very tough to follow up okay. on. Yeah, but
what would your answer be?
I mean, I think it's very much along the same lines. I think that, you know, there is enough room at the top. And I think that there has been a lot of judgment of us. Like, why would you do that? There's so many. Well, I always use the example of, you know, one day there was a man who invented the straw, right? And we all have used the straw before and we love it. And then you know, somewhere along the line, a guy came along and bent that straw and he made the flexi straw. And that didn't make the first version of the straw any less valuable. This guy just made a bunch of money putting a wrinkle in it. So, you know, it's not like there's a limited room at the top or a cap on how many people need help. I think that by covering the populations that we haven't opened ourselves up to so many, and we aren't exclusive in a grand way. So we are serving the larger goal of lowering the hunting age and, you know, the more focused goal of making sure people feel healthy and have access to doing something that makes them feel good.
I agree with all of that, except the person that invented the cardboard straw. F that person.
Yeah, that person is not our friend.
Yeah.
You're going to get some backlash here pretty quick if you got California listening. So.
I could care less. Cardboard straws suck. It was a horrible invention.
Turtles.
Save the turtles, right?
That makes sense, and I think it's honorable what you guys are doing. Let's take another quick break. Do not go anywhere. When we come back, we'll wrap up the conversation with Northern Nevada Outfitters Jamie Martinez and Kyle Thistle. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry coming at you right now. Thank you for hanging in there over the break. We're going to dive right back into it. Dave, I know you had a question for Jamie and Kyle.
Yeah, I did. So as we were discussing, or you guys were kind of laying out some of the groundwork, as money comes in and you have X amount of funds, that kind of dictates how many folks or hunters you have the capacity of taking out and hunting with. So how do you go about determining from all the applications which ones get to have that opportunity? Because, you know, you stated it's kids, it's cancer, and it's veterans. So out of that huge pot, I mean, do you guys have a committee that goes, oh, we'll hold off on that one? You know, how does that work?
Going to the last couple shows and talking to a lot of people, we're going to go ahead and give it to the kids right out of the gate, because we want to change. If we can change one path, you know, then it's going to make the whole deal worth it. It's nothing against the vets or the cancer survivors. It's just everybody wants to see a kid prevail. Everybody wants to see, you know, one turn on a path can change an entire game. And kind of the way we have the generations going right now, I think that the hunting people appreciate that, you know, there's guidance being given out and trying to change a path. I'm not saying we're any more responsible, but statistically speaking, I think we are.
And as for kind of my kind of analysis, you know, I come in with a more like kind of academic, like trying to figure out how to fit more into the box, right?
Basically, so what you're saying is you're lawyering. You're going to lawyer it.
I'm going to lord over the decision-making process. So to me, it's kind of like a target, right? We'll start close to home, and whatever units we can get to and serve the most people makes the most sense to me, right?
Yeah.
And so there is a crossover between, like, if we have a veteran who wants to come, then he can come as a mentor and, you know, help guide kids, or, you know, not in the legal sense, but be part of what we're doing. So we're going to try to be as inclusive as possible. Also, what we've found...
Even camp cooks.
Yeah, you know, even camp cooks. So anybody...
You know, there's a lot of help.
Pork and beans.
Yep. And what we've seen as you know, kind of an unanticipated event here is that as we spread the word and we talk to more people, different outfitters, they have... The first question is, what do you mean you do it for free? And then we, you know, explain the concept of free, which takes people aback sometimes. And then the secondary response to that is, well, we want to help too. So we have made some connections, you know, with some outfitters locally. We have Ground Zero Outfitters, More Hounds and Outfitters. Kyle, you have a couple more, right?
Yeah, we have Cold Trail Outfitters, Cole and Talby.
So they're, okay. You know, they
so
want
it's
donate.
Really, yeah, so it's really kind of... This bus is moving faster and faster as word gets out, your business plan or your platform. And now folks are like, wow, this is super cool stuff. How can I help? So now you're dealing with, you know, another component of this nonprofit of like, how do we organize this now?
Yeah, growth was not the problem I anticipated us having. So, you know, it was kind of like, okay, we're going to have to establish ourselves. You know, this, as I came in as a newbie, I kind of very quickly picked up on, you know, who's the old dogs in the game, you know, who has control over decisions and which organizations battle with each other over the banquets and the inclusion.
All of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
all
I was like, yeah. Yeah. What's everybody fighting for? There's so much space in this state. So, you know, I'm kind of learning the politics of it, but we have been so well received and so welcomed. And,
awesome.
You know, once people hear about us, they want to help. And so we have no corner on the market here. We're like, hey, come in, help us. Let's work together.
How many people did you guys said you've been around for a year. So last season was your first full season? Okay, so you don't have a benchmark for we can handle X amount of people yet.
Nope, not yet.
Perfect.
Wow, that's going to be exciting.
This is my 9-to-5, so we're going to run as many people as me and my team can get this year on the first year and see if sink or swim time, right? You know, good people prevail, so here we go.
And awesome. I run on 4 hours of sleep a night, work 7 days a week. So I feel my personal goal is to set foot in every unit in the state, touch dirt. That's what I want to do eventually. And, you know, just grind because this makes me happy. Doesn't take the life out of me. It adds life to me. So we're going to hit it as hard as we can.
Well, being a person that has probably been in every unit in the state of Nevada.
Dave might check that box.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
I think I got that one as well.
Yeah, there are so many different habitat types and topographies and in the state of Nevada. It's absolutely breathtaking. I prefer people staying on I-80 and not seeing the beauty of what we have here. But you're going
to
dig it.
I was about to say, don't sell it too hard, Dave.
Yeah.
I got
yeah.
some corners out there I want untouched. Yeah. But did you hunt last season, Jamie?
I did not. Well,
did
I went.
Did you put in?
No, this will be my first year. So I went. I know. Oh, my God. I'm so
sorry.
Congratulations. Yeah.
I went out a couple times with friends. And so that was kind of what kind of sparked the appetite for it. And I was telling Kyle because I stopped at the camp that he had last week, and one of the most amazing things that I've experienced right now is sitting around camp and talking.
Isn't it the best? Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm like, I just don't want to leave. My cell phone doesn't have any service. I'm sitting here with people just talking, and I mean, there are very few things I can think of that have felt better than that.
Yeah, that was Henry and I at sheep camp.
Yep.
With the fire going and the bourbon and the clear sky and all the stars, and I think that was probably one of the best.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
It was, yeah. It was just awesome.
There's a lot of things out there that aren't going to take sheep camp.
Buddy. Yeah, sheep camp is incredible.
Only a few lucky people get to be a part of sheep camp.
Yeah. And yep.
Some of the bottles of whiskey that gets pulled out in sheep camp are extravagant, you know, going 40 years old.
Well, yeah, because you've been saving it until you got a sheep tag, and now you got it. You're like, okay, dudes, pour some gas on that thing. Let's do some drinking.
I've got one of those bottles at home.
Fire,
yeah.
You're going to wind up.
Yep. Oh, buddy.
I've already got my bottle of sheep camp bourbon for when I eventually draw the tag.
Yes, you do.
Hiding away. Not to hijack the interview and make it about myself, but I'm assuming you being an attorney and always being on call, I'm in the same situation where it's like if a transmitter goes down, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I got to go somewhere for work, there is such a sense of peace when I hit that dirt road and I look at my phone and I go, perfect. There's no cell service out here. I am untouchable. The stations could be burning down. We could be off air. Hopefully employees are dealing with it. But it's like out of sight, out of mind. I want you guys to plug the website again. Go ahead and talk through the application process for people listening. If you're sitting at home right now and you know a veteran, you got kids, maybe you're not a hunter, but it intrigues you. How do these people go about submitting names for an application?
Yeah. And is there a deadline?
Good call.
So, yes, there will be a deadline. So we hope, and that is submit your application as soon as possible, right? But again, there's not necessarily, because we don't know if you're going to draw a tag or not. So we're taking everybody that we can. So ultimately, we'll establish a deadline because we'll be overcome with it. But, you know, so as I stated before, you go to northernnevadaoutfitters.org. That is our That's our website, and you can get all the information you need from there. There's including the PayPal link where you can donate through PayPal. We have Venmo, so we're, you know, and we're also writing grants, so we're working on that. But one of the things we wanted to do was to stay as personally accessible as we could during our first few seasons so that people could ask us questions. So my phone number is on the website. Kyle's phone number is on the website. It goes straight to the phones that we carry on us all day, every day. So we have emails that you can send questions into. We want people to be able to understand what we do firsthand. And, you know, we want to be accessible.
Kyle, I'll give you the final word here. What would you like people to leave the show with in regards to Northern Nevada Outfitters?
To spread the word, to know that we're here, to free, the word free, define free. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. You know, everybody says it all the time. This is 100% from the ground up. You draw a tag, you get a hold of us. We're going to take you on a fully outfitted hunt from the ground up for no cost, no expectations. You know, we're just going to go out and have the time of your life and try to give back to a few people out there, you know, just to the greater good overpowers the evil, right? You know,
yep.
I'm still here. You know, I believe there's a lot of people out there in this world that want to, you know, would love to be a part of this or do it, and this just hasn't been accessible to people. You know, there's always been qualifications or guidelines, and this, we kind of leave it untouched as far as the wide range of humans that we can go, you know, and everybody wants to see kids prevail and take off, and everybody wants to be a part of something that good and giving back to something, you know, so I really think that, you know, we're here, and it'll be a good year. It's going to be pretty cool to see, you know, to show people that we're here at the same time, that it's not a joke or just we're taking on people's donations and not using it. You know, to show them what we're doing with that money is going to, it's going to go a long ways.
Well, sincere thank you to both of you for joining us on the show. Again, it's Northern Nevada Outfitters. Go check them out. And thank you to Legacy Sports International, home of the Howell Superlight, for sponsoring Nevada Backcountry.